With the ringing of the church bell, we welcome you to this hour of worship as it comes to you from Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Sweet Springs, Missouri. On this second Sunday after Christmas, our hymns are 367, 410, 360, 366, 620, and 390. Pastor Mark Neville's sermon is entitled, Jesus is in His Father's House, taken from Luke 2, verses 40 through 52. Ron Baker is at the consort of the organ. Welcome to our Lord bless our worship this morning. We invite you to sing with us as we sing our opening hymn, 360.
Welcome to Christian worship at Emmanuel Lutheran Church. We gather together on this second Sunday after Christmas, and we join in our hymn of invocation. It is hymn 367, Angels from the Realms of Glory. Hymn 367, we will stand for the last stanza. We join together in Divine Service Setting 1. It begins for us on page 151 in our hymnals, the Lutheran Service Book. We can follow along in our worship folder. We join in Confession and Absolution. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all of your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We continue with the service of the Word, speaking responsively. The intro, it is printed in our worship folder. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. Praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God.
For it is pleasant to sing.
Great is our Lord and abundant in power. But the Lord takes pleasure in those who fear him. Praise the Lord, O Jerusalem. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth. You. Let us pray the collect of the day. Almighty God, you have poured into our hearts the true light of your incarnate word. Grant that this light may shine forth in our lives through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Old Testament reading appointed for this second Sunday after Christmas is recorded in the third chapter of 1 Kings. The king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the great high place. Solomon used to offer 1,000 burnt offerings on that altar. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, "Ask what I shall give you." And Solomon said, "You have shown great and steadfast love to your servant David, my father, because he walked before you in faithfulness, in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart toward you. And you have kept for him this great and steadfast love, and have given him a son to sit on his throne this day. And now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king in place of David my father, although I am but a little child. I do not know how to go out or come in. And your servant is in the midst of your people whom you have chosen, a great people, too many to be numbered or counted for multitude. Give your servant, therefore, an understanding mind to govern your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to govern this, your great people?" It pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this, and God said to him, "Because you have asked this, and have not asked for yourself long life or riches or the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern what is right, behold, I now do according to your word. Behold, I give you a wise and discerning mind, so that none like you has been before you, and none like you shall arise after you. I give you also what you have not asked, both riches and honor, so that no other king shall compare with you all your days. And if you will walk in my ways, keeping my statutes and my commandments, as your father David walked, then I will lengthen your days." And Solomon awoke, and behold, it was a dream. Then he came to Jerusalem and stood before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord and offered up burnt offerings and peace offerings and made a feast for all his servants. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle reading is recorded in the first chapter of Paul's letter to the Ephesians in the New Testament. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ, as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance, until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. This is the word of the Lord. We stand for the singing of the Alleluia and the reading of the Holy Gospel. Lord, to whom shall we go? Gospel according to St. Luke, the second chapter. The child Jesus grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover, and when he was 12 years old, they went up according to custom. And when the feast was ended, as they were returning, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. His parents did not know it, but supposing him to be in the group, they went a day's journey. But then they began to search for him among their relatives and acquaintances. And when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem, searching for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. And when his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us so? Behold, your father and I have been searching for you in great distress." And he said to them, "Why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" And they did not understand the saying that he spoke to them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was submissive to them. And his mother treasured up all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. This is the gospel of our Lord. You may be seated. We sing as our hymn of the day, hymn 410, Within the Father's House, hymn 410. We will stand for the last stanza. Be unto you from God our Heavenly Father, our newborn living Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our sermon meditation is our gospel reading from Luke chapter 2. You may be seated. It is a new year. Christmas Day seems so long ago, yet here in worship, we still are singing Christmas hymns, and the decorations remain. So what gives? Well, it still is the Christmas season in our Christian church year calendar. In fact, today is the 11th day of Christmas. And so we continue to celebrate our Lord Jesus' birth. Yet, if we think that time flies fast, for it's already the fourth day of this new year, we have advanced at least 10 years from last week's gospel reading to today. Last week, the evil King Herod was searching for the young child Jesus while Joseph was taking him and Mary to Egypt for their safety. Today, Mary and Joseph bring the 12-year-old Jesus to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover festival. It is the year before his bar mitzvah. That's when a Jewish boy would become a son of the law. In a sense, a man in the faith. We might liken it as similar to our rite of confirmation. Well, Jesus now, as many other Jewish boys his age, gets a chance to see for himself what happens at the Passover in Jerusalem. But we don't hear anything about that. Instead, the inspired writer Luke does treat us to an incident from their return journey to Nazareth. Joseph and Mary start their trip back to Nazareth. They are traveling, of course, on foot in a group of family and friends. The tradition was that the women and the children would be up front. The men and the older boys would be in the back. So where does the 12-year-old Jesus belong? Well, Mary thinks Jesus is in the back with Joseph. Joseph thinks Jesus is up front with Mary. It is only when the group stops for the night and the two of them get together and they realize that Jesus is with neither one of them. I can only imagine how that conversation went. Joseph says to Mary, "Where is Jesus?" Mary says, "I don't know. I thought he was with you." Joseph says, "He wasn't with me. I thought he was with you." "No, I thought he was with you." And so forth and so on. Did you get a chance to watch the Home Alone movies over Christmas? An enduring image is the face of the mother when she realizes that their son Kevin is not with them. If you have ever lost a child in a crowded public place, I know that, or left a child behind somewhere, you know the guilt and the panic feeling as parents. Now multiply that feeling 10 times more for Mary and Joseph. The eternal and almighty God of the universe has entrusted his one and only son in human flesh to them. And now they have lost him. At once they sense the thermostat on their eternal condemnation being turned up to its highest temperature. And so they hustle back to Jerusalem and they spend a day searching painfully, as the Greek original tells us, for Jesus before finding him in the temple courts. And there he is listening to and participating in theology discussions with the learned teachers of God's word. And Jesus is displaying great understanding and insight among them. Mary and Joseph are both relieved and confused when they find Jesus there. And Mary gives Jesus that good Jewish mother guilt trip. "Son, why did you put us through this?" And we think, "But he's Jesus, the Son of God." "Mary, you should have known. that he would have been at the temple, and not surprised by his questions and answers there. In the movie Home Alone 2, the boy Kevin ends up in New York City while his family goes on vacation in Miami. When they realize what has happened, the family flies to New York City in a desperate search for Kevin. His mother shows her son's picture to people on the street and asks desperately, "Have you seen him?" And no one has. She asks a policeman for some help, and his advice to her is this: if you were him, where would you go? She then realizes she should go to that giant Christmas tree in Rockefeller Center. And sure enough, she finds Kevin there. So why didn't Mary realize this? After all, reading Luke chapter 2, from the birth of Jesus through Simeon's song and to this story, that takes us only a few minutes. But it has been 12 years since Christmas for Joseph and Mary. It's not like they have forgotten that Jesus is the Son of God. They've just not had everyday reminders of that. There are no Bible stories of Jesus as a toddler walking on the top of his bathwater. Jesus is not, as a child, out on the streets of Nazareth raising dead pets back to life. Jesus did not offer to make supper for the whole town by zapping some loaves and fishes into a community feast. Jesus is a growing boy, a good one, an obedient one, to be sure, but he is a regular human child. Yet Jesus knows who he is and whose he is. His first words that the Bible records for us are a gentle rebuke and a reminder of that for Mary and Joseph. "Calm down. Don't worry. Didn't you realize that I had to be in my Father's house?" That is his true Father, his heavenly and eternal Father. Not surprisingly, Mary and Joseph do not fully understand what it means for them to raise God's Son living our human life. But as she did with the shepherds' visit to the stable on Christmas night, Mary files this event in her memory and grows in her appreciation of who Jesus is. But Jesus must have made it easy for them. He was obedient to them. Now, those who have raised preteen and teenagers know how they can talk back. "I don't have to do what you tell me to do." Unless such a thing doesn't happen here in Sweet Springs. Just think of the adolescent ammunition that Jesus has at his disposal. "You can't tell me what to do. I made you." But he didn't do that, did he? As true human, Jesus, the Son of God, grew bodily, increased intellectually, and was looked upon favorably by both God and man. Early Christian tradition tells us that Joseph trained Jesus to be a carpenter, and that together they specialized in building farm equipment. As we would expect, they did such a good job at that, some of the equipment they made was still in use in Galilee 100 years later. This is the only story in the Bible that we have from Jesus' childhood. We won't hear of him again in the Bible for another 18 years. For this particular event from Jesus' childhood to be in the Bible for us shows that it must have had important significance. What does it mean for him and for us? Well, as a boy, Jesus wows the teachers of God's word in the temple. As an adult, Jesus teaches God's word to the crowds in ways that wow the people with its authority. As a boy, Jesus sits at the feet of temple teachers with quiet understanding. As an adult, Jesus drives the merchants making money, as if it were a market, out of his father's house. As a boy, Jesus admires the temple building. As an adult, Jesus proclaims, "Destroy this temple, and I will rebuild it in 3 days." As a boy, Jesus visits Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. As an adult, Jesus comes to Jerusalem to fulfill the Passover sacrifice for us. As a boy, Jesus' parents, Mary and Joseph, are in pain as they search for their lost son. As an adult, the Son of God, Jesus, suffers for the sins of a lost world. As a boy, Jesus amazes the Jewish leaders in the temple with his answers to their questions. As an adult, Jesus angers the Jewish leaders by his silence at their accusations. As a boy, Jesus' parents lose him in Jerusalem. As an adult, Jesus' disciples run away from him when he is arrested there. That sweet baby Jesus of Christmas, that precocious adolescent Jesus in the temple, will become the mocked and condemned so-called criminal Jesus, hanging upon the cross until his death. But this is what being our Savior is all about: sacrificing himself to take away our sins. The death of one innocent man, the Son of God, so that a world full of guilty, sinful people would be free from their sin. On that day in Jerusalem's temple, and years later at the foot of Jesus' cross, his mother Mary had to wonder, what and why? Easter Sunday answers it all. The resurrection of Jesus from the dead shows that his heavenly Father approved his Son's sacrifice for us. By his perfect life and his sacrificial death, Jesus has done the job of our salvation. Now he is risen from the dead to tell us about it. Through holy baptism, Jesus makes us his disciples to live our lives in his name and to share his salvation with those who are around us. Jesus now has ascended to his heavenly Father's house, and in that mansion are many rooms. Jesus has gone to prepare a place for us there. While we may want to know more about Jesus' childhood, this solitary story from the Bible gives us a glimpse or a preview of his whole story. It shows us a boy who is the Son of God, a divine child who is obedient to his human parents and who does the will of his heavenly Father for our salvation. To God alone be all of the glory. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We continue our worship as we join together in the common confession of our Christian faith. We make use of the words of the Nicene Creed as they are printed for us in our worship folder. We stand.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. In our prayer of the church, we remember those listed for us in our worship folder. We add to that list Emmanuel member Janet Eichholz, who had knee replacement surgery this past Friday. Let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. O Lord, to Solomon you granted wisdom and a discerning mind. Give your people such wisdom from your word and a mind to discern truth from error, that we may know Jesus Christ and not depart from him amid the winds of change and doubt in this world that challenge our faith. Bless with faithfulness and success all those who work in the mission of your church, sharing Christ as Savior throughout the world. Lord, in your mercy, Heavenly Father, you have blessed us in Christ, your beloved Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our sins. Preserve your church by the preaching of the gospel of salvation and the seal of the promised Holy Spirit in baptism. Raise up among us faithful preachers to the praise of Christ's glory, until we acquire the inheritance promised us in him. Guide us by your Holy Spirit to the next pastor you have chosen to serve us with your word and sacraments here at Emmanuel. Lord, in your mercy, Almighty God, your own Son became incarnate for us and grew from childhood into maturity, filled with wisdom, and your favor was upon him. Grant to parents and children the wisdom and courage to know you as Savior and Redeemer, and to gather at your bidding around your word and table. Help us form within our children the knowledge of what is right and good according to your word, as well as the will to do it. Lord, in your mercy, gracious Lord, you set apart kings and governments to safeguard your people. Bless, we pray, our president, the Congress, our governor, our legislature, and all those who make, administer, and judge our laws, and provide for our national and personal protection as members of our military, including McKenna and Drake, police officers, firefighters, emergency responders, and healthcare professionals. Make them wise and give them a discerning heart in the pursuit of justice for the offender, peace between the nations, and protection for the unborn and those least able to defend themselves. Lord, in your mercy, merciful God, give patience and endurance to all who are sick or in any need, and heal them according to your will. Especially do we remember Janet as she recovers from surgery, and for Evelyn, Nolan, Bryce, Brandy, Avery, Jeff, Debbie, Reverend Hagen, Marion, Diane, Gail, David, Danny, Inez, Mary Lou, Brooke, Charlotte, Elliot, and those we name before you now in the silence of our hearts. We ask that you would continue to surround Norma, Stanley, Millie, Dolores, Dorothy, Carol, and Phyllis with your love and goodness, as they cannot be with us here, but we keep them close to us in our prayers for them. Give comfort and hope to all who mourn the loss of loved ones to physical death. Receive our thanksgiving for every blessing and kindness you have shown to your people in Christ. Lord, in your mercy, O Lord, grant us to know what is worthy of our attention in this life and what will pass away in this world, that approaching the table of our Lord, we may be well prepared to receive with repentance and faith his flesh for the life of the world and his blood that cleanses us from all our sin. Lord, in your mercy, all these things and whatever else you know that we need, grant us, Father, for the sake of him who died and rose again, and who now lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever. Amen. You may be seated. We continue our worship with the gathering of our offerings. Thank you.
the sacrament as it begins for us on page 160 in our hymnals, or follow along in your service folder. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, Everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. For in the mystery of the Word made flesh, you have given us a new revelation of your glory, that seeing you in the person of your Son, we may know and love those things which are not seen. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created, and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh, to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb and his kingdom which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us all to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the same night on which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you.
Now may this true body and true blood of our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in the one true faith into life everlasting. Go now in God's peace. Amen. We stand as we sing our post-communion canticle, Thank the Lord. Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift, and we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. We remain standing as we sing our hymn to depart, hymn 390. Let us all with gladsome voice, hymn 390.